We're in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation as we continue our study of the second beast of Revelation 13. This beast is a man, of course, and he is also known as the false prophet. Now, we have read in this chapter that this man is given the same power as the first beast, but he has a mission to see to it that all the dwellers of the earth worship the first beast, who we learned is called the Antichrist. Now, we've said that the relationship between the two beasts is like that between the state and a state church. The beast from the sea is a secular political power, while the beast from the earth is the head of a religious institution which fosters the worship of the first beast. Now, if you look into history, you'll find that it's a historical fact in case after case that the state, with the help of religious institutions, tries to make itself the object of worship, or to claim for itself allegiance that belongs to God alone. This is not a new thing, although this will be the epitome of these cases where the state desires your worship. Now, we see that happening in our own country as our own country ages, as our own country turns away from the Word of God. You'll see that more and more cases, our government desires that the people are beholden to the government. This is no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, but it's basically a government for the government, by the government, and for the government. But we see this coming to a climax in this time, and to do this during this great climax of history, the false prophet is given power by Satan himself to do great wonders. So we're told that he is able to call down fire from heaven in the sight of men. Now, this power of miracles, the Lord himself, when he was on this earth, used miracles for the benefit of people. He healed people, brought healing into their lives. He was asked to do miracles by Satan, but he refused. But he did miracles for a purpose. But this power of miracles, given this false prophet, is enough to deceive men into making a speaking image of the first beast, an image that the false prophet then brings to life. These are miracles that will take place in this tribulation period as we return to that period of history where miracles are done. Now, the living image, we're told, will be endowed with power to kill those who will not worship the image. This is a case like the chickens. If you don't perform, off with your head. And in this case, if you do not worship the image, off with your head. Now, the false prophet, with a mission to have all men bow down to the image of the Antichrist, also demands that all worshipers be identified by an approved mark in their forehead or in their right hand. Now, we read of this in Revelation 13, 16 through 18. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And he, now that's that second beast, that's the false prophet, causeth all, both small and great. Now, there's no respecter of persons here. There's no waivers. There's no one excluded from this demand. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then it says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So again, we see an act on the part of the false prophet, which he copies from the sealing of God's servants. S-E-A-L-I-N-G, the sealing of God's servants. Remember when God selected 144,000 gospel of the kingdom preachers? Remember that we taught? God selected 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, totaling 144,000, and we're told that he sealed them in their foreheads. This was told us in Revelation 7, where God sealed each of these men in their foreheads, identifying them as the protected ones of God. Well, now we're seeing those that are protected by the Antichrist. So you have a copying of God's sealing of those that are protected, for these were sent forth into the world to preach that Jesus Christ was coming to govern the earth. Jesus is coming. What a message. What a message to be pronounced. You know, we know that Jesus is coming, but when they preach Jesus is coming, it's coming shortly. It's not a matter of centuries or millennia. He's coming shortly. What a message to preach. However, in the case of the mark of the false prophet, we will find that this mark is given not for high purposes, the high purposes of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but mainly to identify those who are followers of the evil Trinity, and therefore those who are allowed to engage in buying and selling. Can you imagine that? Now, you don't call up anyone every day and say, may I buy some bread? You have the freedom to buy and sell. But in those days, you will have to be approved in the buying and selling in commerce. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 4:4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What a statement that is. Now, as I have said before, Satan's goal, Satan's purpose, is to overturn every command of God. Every command. If God, every tiny command, Satan's heart desires that be overturned. Satan's goal is to deny the existence of God and every word of God. That's Satan's purpose. Now, God tells us that bread is necessary for physical life, but Jesus Christ tells us there is much more to life than physical life. That's what he's telling us in this verse. There's much more to life than bread. But Satan says that all of life is about bread. All of life is about physical life. He says man shall live by bread alone. That's what Satan says. Jesus said man shall not live by bread alone. Satan takes out the word not, and he says man shall live by bread alone. Now, this, of course, is what the world tells men and women, boys and girls, that life is only about bread. Now, that's what we see today in our world with the pursuit of the material. The pursuit of the material is supreme. What drives the world but the economy? You turn on the news, economy, 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 buying and selling, commerce. What drives people today but the accumulation of goods? Did you do your shop? Were you a good citizen this week? Did you go shopping? Did you send your wives to go shopping? Men, did you go down and go shopping at the Bass Pro Shop? Get your, you know, did you do that? Were you a good citizen? Were you a good American? Were you a good world citizen? What moves people to serve masters in commerce as their highest priority, neglecting the home, neglecting marriage, neglecting the church, neglecting the community, and most of all, neglecting their relationship with their Maker? What an important thing that is. Oh, that's cast aside. But what drives men and women to make sure their children have every conceivable gadget while neglecting the important things of life? What drives people to get an education not for the purpose of being a knowledgeable and well-rounded person, but only to gain financial success? You know, education, for the most part today, is vocation motivated. That's not always the reason for education. 100 years ago, it was not necessarily vocation motivated. But education today, for the most part, is vocation motivated. Now, just think about the person hasn't shaved, sitting in his underwear, on the internet, going to college. Now that's a big different picture. And I don't say anything against that, but you think about what's missing there in education. There's more to education than taking courses that are aimed at vocation. But that's what the world has come to, where it's motivated by the love of money. What moves men and women to sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate? I heard that saying. I think that was Bob Jones Sr.'s saying. I heard that saying early in my Christian walk. I think that's such an important saying. You know, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. That's what you do today. Who cares about tomorrow is the mental state of most people. But that's the question. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote in Timothy of his concern in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And isn't it interesting how much we strive for that which we can't take with us? What kind of idiots are we? You know, it's amazing how foolish men can be when they strive and they strive. And, you know, you take Bill Gates, who is supposedly the richest man in the world. Why? What is he going to do? Is he going to take it with him? No, you can't take it with you. And having, this is what the Bible says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Oh, how the Bible calls upon God's children to have contentment. Contentment. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. You know, Proverbs says, seek not to be rich. Now, doesn't matter mean that you can't be rich. If God makes you rich, that's fine. But the seeking of riches is what gets you into trouble. Because you cut corners. You shave things. You're dishonest in order to be rich. So you fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowned men. Look at that. Poor folks in the world without Christ. Blind, drowning in destruction and perdition. Then it says this, which the devil loves, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love the Word of God? In that little passage, you can have light enough to live a life for God in that little passage. So what does Satan do? What system is he in charge of but this world system? And since the love of money is the root of all evil, he glories in the love of money and desires all of his children to do likewise. That's what he glories in. He is evil personified, and therefore his system demands materialism around which this world system revolves. That's the system that we live in today. Probably all the whole world has lived in this system of materialism. This is what our ears are filled with daily, as the world's attention is focused on money while the important things are in last place. They're in last place. Eat, drink, and be merry. Why? For tomorrow you'll die. Wow, what a life verse that is. What a life verse that is. You know, I remember President Clinton said, in emphasizing what is important, it's the economy, stupid. If you don't think it's the economy, you're stupid. That's what life's all about, bread. And President Bush said after 9/11, go shopping in hopes that the economy would not suffer one iota. Oh, we can't have the economy suffer. We've had this disaster in New York. 3,000 people have been killed. We can't have the economy suffer, so go shopping. Now, in all of this, Satan is broadcasting that indeed man shall live by bread alone. Now, Christ, here in this verse, used bread as an example of all things physical that are used to support physical life. Now, you broaden it, of course. Everything that you need is bread. It supports physical life. Bread means all things that we need to keep living in this world. But when Christ brought up the subject of life into the conversation, he spoke of eternal life and all of its fullness. You think about what we have ahead of us, what we have today. For if you're saved, we live in eternal life, do we not? I have eternal life. Now, I have to pass through some doors, which may be difficult for me, but I have eternal life. And that's the way we're to look at it. But Satan will have none of this, for eternal life speaks of God. So in keeping with Satan's whole purpose for man, the false prophet commands that no one may have bread without identifying with him through his Antichrist. You can't have bread. I'm going to prove to you that man shall live by bread alone, but you have to yield yourself to the one I preach to worship. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now Jesus taught his disciples to whom they should go for their daily bread, as he taught them to pray. This was the message of Christ. Where do I go for my daily bread? Well, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Who was he asking? He was asking God. That's where we go as Christians for our daily bread. No, I just go down to Winn-Dixie. Yeah, but who put the bread there? Who made the bread? Who made the grain? Who made the sunshine? Who brought the plants to life? God. God gives us our daily bread. But that's the principle. So Satan takes this principle and uses it to bring worship to the man God. We call Jesus the God-man. Antichrist is the man God. the man precedes the God, 666. But we'll go into that. But he uses this principle to bring worship to the man God called Antichrist. So Satan, knowing to whom you ask your daily bread is your God, therefore demands his followers to be marked in order to receive their daily bread from him through his Antichrist. In other words, Antichrist is God to those who are marked. That's what he's preaching here. Now, just think about what John wrote about this command of the false prophet. Now, John received the word of this on the Isle of Patmos almost 2,000 years ago. This verse has been around for almost 2,000 years. These passages have been around for almost 2,000 years. And ever since the writing about this mark of the beast, there has been conjecture as to what it means. But we know that if a prophet speaks from God, that which he speaks will come about regardless of how difficult it is to understand. We who have faith believe that. We look at this and say, now how can that come about? Well, if it's a true prophet, it will come about. God will bring it to pass. Now, we are in a time when light is making this passage alive to our understanding in ways that previous generations did not have. We have more light about this. Now, just the fact that the beast has a number, just think about this. Here's a character with a number. Just the fact that this beast has a number identifies with men of today and with men of his time to come. We don't know when this will take place, but it identifies with us, doesn't it? Now, all of us were given names by our parents. None of us were given numbers. I suppose there's somebody that has a number, but all of us have names. All of us who believe, we're told in the scriptures, have our names written down in the book of life of the Lamb. The book will be opened and somebody will open it and say, yeah, there's Curtis. There he is right there. His name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. Now, our names are personal and they recognize our individuality. There's no one on earth like you. There's no one on earth like you, but Satan's world system cannot use our name, and instead we all are identified by numbers. I go into the doctor, she puts on a little wristband for me. Now, I go in and I sit in the room and the nurse says, it'll just be a minute. And I always say, well, how long is that minute?
Well, it'll be about a half an hour.
And then the nurse comes in. Huh? Yeah, if I'm lucky. The nurse comes in, what's your birthday? 327, sorry. You know, numbers, driver's license numbers, social security numbers, taxpayer identification numbers, military ID numbers, credit card numbers, and now our keychains are full of store reward card numbers. So the merchant will know your every buying habit. You think, well, I'm getting a break. You know what he's doing? He knows that you buy everything you buy. He knows exactly what you buy. Ooh, I wonder what we're getting ready for. You know, you'd say, well, isn't that nice of him to know me so well? He couldn't care less about knowing you. He doesn't know anything about our welfare, couldn't care less about our welfare, but only cares about what will bring him profit. But our God knows us individually, even though we may share our name with others. There may be others with your name. But God knows you. He doesn't just say, well, I have 1,000 people named this, but he knows every one of those 1,000, even though they share the same name. But Satan knows us by numbers only. And he takes that pattern and glorifies in it by giving his Antichrist a number, and that number is 666. Three sixes. Think about that. Three sixes. Now, six, of course, is the number of man. For man was created on the sixth day. God told us to labor 6 days. We don't want to labor 6 days. We want to labor five. So we cut it down one. You know, Goliath was 6 cubits high, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels. Nebuchadnezzar's image, remember that image to whom all were commanded to bow, was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. That six seems to be appearing. Now, Goliath and Nebuchadnezzar were forerunners of the Antichrist, who not only has the number of man, but he has that number tripled three times. So you have three sixes. It's a six is tripled three times. There's a connection there between the six and the three. So in this, he therefore claims the Godhead. For the number three is the number of the Trinity. 666 is man. Three times is the Trinity. Man, God. Man, God. That's what he claims. So the one who rules the earth at this time, the one who rules the earth full of numbered men and women, boys and girls, takes for himself a number that identifies himself as the man God. So 666 means that he as a man identifies himself as God. Now, in this, he claims for himself that which only belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ, whose name, not a number, is far above every name, and at that name every knee shall bow. So he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, this requirement, think about this requirement for buyers and sellers to be identified. This is a very modern requirement, and I think it's connected to the technological age that we live in. Now, this is not a requirement for a cash society, but a requirement that pertains to modern advanced societies. Have you noticed that we are headed for a cashless society? For with the decline of morality, the decline and of integrity and honesty, evil shall wax worse and worse, and cash will not fit into financial transactions in the kingdom of Antichrist. Think about the evil running rampant with cash. That doesn't fit. We're headed for a cashless society. Now, in addition, the present method of using identity and credit cards to verify a buyer or seller's identity is a very weak system. The system that we have today is weak because physical objects such as IDs and credit cards can be stolen or counterfeited. Even the fingerprinting that they're talking about, or eye scanning, only provides identity and does not provide financial or medical information. So that's a weak system too. Now, there's a natural evolution taking place to connect a person's identity with that person's financial capability, and that evolution requires some marking of the buyer and seller's body. That's where we're headed. You take out your credit cards, I can take out your credit card and give it to them. But if it's physically mounted on my body or in my body, then that's a more secure system. And that's where we're headed. So therefore, a mark on or in the body. Now, the word mark used in verse 14 is from the Greek word karagma, which means a scratch or etching. It's a scratch or etching. Now, the King James Bible says the mark is in the right hand or in the forehead. It uses that word in If you look at other versions, you'll see the word on. So somehow the other versions are using the word on. The King James Version is using the word in. Now, the false prophet places that mark, which I believe could be the mark caused by the injection of a computer chip into the right hand or to the forehead. Now, this is what's being talked about today. Some sort of an insertion of a computer chip in the body. So its placement not only conforms a man or woman to the financial requirements of modern life, but it will be part of the religion of materialism, the religion of Satan, who has always desired men and women to reject God and to yield to Satan's rule. Now, according to what I read, the technology of today is capable of embedding what are called radio frequency identification chips. Now, at this time, they are as small as a grain of rice. But they have an expectation of being even smaller, so it could come to a point where they could actually be injected. Now, proponents advance this for storing identification, medical information, location, financial capability, and crime reduction. In other words, not only for identity, but for much additional information. Just think about this. If the government knew exactly where you were at all times, they could find you at any time, they could find out your medical condition, they could find out your financial condition, all of these various things implanted in some chip on you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Think about that. A drone can find you. If you're lost in the mountains, a drone can find you. Now, this chip will be able to be read by scanners, which will identify the buyer, seller, and immediately transfer money from and to his account. Of course, there would have to be controls on how this was done, but scanners could be placed everywhere. You think about all the cameras that are being placed all over the world. You go into Europe, you can hardly find a place where there's no cameras. Well, this is a forerunner of this ultimate thing, so your location can be known at all times. Now, these chips, they're talking about these chips will be used for anything. That pew will have a chip. Everything will have a chip so that its location, its identity can be known by those that are in charge. There will come a day, here's a prediction, and this is not a very enlightened prediction, but there will come a day when you will go into a store, place your purchases in bags, walk out of the door having been scanned, both body and product, without benefit of human labor. If you're a cashier, there won't be cashier jobs in 20 years. You'll just go into the store, put your stuff in a bag, walk out. There's a scanner that will scan you or scan something on you, take money out of your account, and you're on your way. Now, Peter in 2 Peter said this, "False prophets who through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Now, now I don't know if Peter understood what he was talking about, but you're being set up for merchandise. You'll be merchandise just like your car is merchandise. Now, we're getting deeper into the age of the perfection of materialism, and we hear false prophets all day longing to make merchandise of you. And the ultimate goal of those will be to mark you so that you can be identified, so that your financial information can be taken and used, so that crime will be prevented, all kinds of things. But that's what the siren call of the merchants is. Man shall live by bread alone. Satan is saying, man shall live by bread alone. You know, God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God says, ask your daily bread of God. But Satan will put in place the requirement to trust in him and ask of him your daily bread. You know, the Bible says Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it also says, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? And the inference, of course, is that it will be very hard to find faith on the earth. And what's the substitute for faith? Fear. Fear and faith are opposed to each other. Well, the tribulation time will be an age of fear. People will be clamoring for this kind of mark. They'll be clamoring for this kind of societal protection. And the Antichrist will be there to give it. So it's coming about. We see this happening in our time through technological changes and technological advances. And also see it in the mind of people, that people will want this for their own protection. You say, oh, we won't want it now. We wouldn't want it. But there will come a time when people will demand this for their own protection and their own safety. But you know, we as Christians need to cultivate the leaning, not to our own understanding, but instead acknowledge God in all of our ways. And materialism is something that will ruin your family. It'll ruin you. Thinking that the things that you have come from other than God, you know, not paying attention to that and going your own way will ruin you. Just like it said in that passage about pierce themselves through with many sorrows by covetousness and trying to get more and more and more and more. Father, we thank you so much for this scripture. Lord, we know where we are in this time. We see things happening that lead us to believe that the time is short. We don't know, Father. It could be a longer time than we think, but help us to be ready, Father, and help us to look up, for that's where our redemption comes from, Lord. And we're so thankful that we're Christians. We're thankful, Father, that we know Christ is our Savior. We're thankful, Father, that we have one that cares for us. In Jesus' name, amen.